Sessions were at Crest. Raymond Aubin.
Sorry?
Raymond Aubin.
Raymond.
Like Raymond.
You are. Richard. Yes. You met at the left and into the Bank Street thing?
Oh, left and pumps. Well, they were presentation. No, there were about two or three meetings only over there, right?
Well, more than that, but less than the other one.
You were there with the guy Richard, the guy from Chelsea who did the book. Hey, what's his name, Richard? What?
From Chelsea?
Yeah. Kentler or Chelsea?
Austin.
Austin.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Remember him? His presentation?
Who?
Richard Austin. It was on doing a book through Ingram Spark. Through the Ingram Spark Publishing.
This is the first time to review.
Yeah. It's the revival. I just love that word. You know. Yeah.
Rebirth.
Right. Yeah.
This is the emergent artist here.
The Renaissance.
Yeah. And so if that was the one, he talked about Ingram Spark, and that's who I used.
I've used them, but
for the folk history. So the thing about Ingram Spark is that they have a rather unique business model.
History of the Art of a Folk.
The first book that gets published. The first book that gets published costs you the same as $1,000 when it comes out of the press.
Yeah.
You've got to pay shipping, and you know, shipping for one book is way overpriced. For $1,000, it's very cheap. But that's unique in the world, as far as I know. Nobody else does that. Every book that comes off the press costs you the same thing.
Which, Claire, this must be you.
It's me.
remember the name.
How can you tell?
I remember the name, but you used Whit Flair before.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I continue to use it.
Yeah, yes.
But the problem with them is they have no photographic printing capability. They're working on it.
Yeah.
I've talked with the rep. You know, they'll have coated paper, but they've got presses on three continents, and they need to be able to coordinate that so that somebody in Tokyo can order this book and get the same book that I get.
Okay, but it's printed over there.
It'll be printed locally as can be. Yeah. They've got one in Australia, one in the main is in Tennessee.
And what's the name of this?
I think Blurb must be working. You never know where your book is printed.
Yes.
I think they have an outfit in Calgary.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. But when I last dealt with them, I had two different printings, and they were done at two different presses, one in Calgary, one in California.
They look the same?
And they weren't the same.
They were not the same.
And they may have solved that. That's years ago.
What's the name of this company?
It's Ingram Sparks.
It's
two words?
Ingram is the main company.
Mm-hmm.
And Ingram Sparks is their retail book interface for publishers.
On the surface, it should be pretty simple to get consistent results. I'm very naive. I probably right. So once you have to have the same machine. That's number one.
Okay.
And two, you have to have the same settings.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And unless there could be differences in the batches of inks, that's quite possible.
Right.
So if you order blue, you run out of blue, you order blue again, and you get a slightly different blue. That, I believe, could happen.
Yeah.
Don't know. Because this is all. I'm pretty sure that when you order, I think if you order a book through Blurb, there's no human intervention except picking the book and putting it in the sleeve and putting a stamp on it and shipping it to you.
Yeah.
That's probably the only human intervention there is, I think. I'm not sure.
You don't think they've automated that?
Probably automated that too. Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
that's why it's so amazingly affordable. Well, actually, it's relatively expensive, but still.
But like I said, they did have this difference between presses.
Yeah, that I'm really surprised. Because unless, it's quite a business decision. When there's a new generation of press, okay, you change your six locations throughout the planet.
Yeah.
Or with a new machine, it could be, it could be quite expensive. Yeah? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But they do make beautiful books, Blurb.
Well, this is my first and only Blurb book.
Okay.
But the first time when they printed it, there was a little white stripe.
Oh.
Just a little sliver.
Yeah.
Right? And on most of the pages, just on one side, just there.
On the one side, yeah.
And there.
Was it their fault?
It was their fault.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I complained, and they said, they looked at my file, they said, there doesn't seem to be anything wrong with your file, so we'll just reprint it for free. No one won't charge you. So they send me it back, and it had the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
Slightly different, like
a little bit narrower or something.
But a little more, a little less. So I sent it back third time, same thing.
Mm.
I said, guys, you need to troubleshoot this and not just keep, reprinting.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And so, it went through several levels of, geeks there, I don't know. And eventually, I think on the fourth or maybe the fifth time, they got it right. And no explanation, nothing, but somehow they figured out how to get there. Was
it could be where they cut.
Yeah, it was about where they cut. It was there was a bleed, and they were supposed to cut, and it wasn't right.
Yeah, because they have all these things about how much bleed you need to leave and what is a safe area, unsafe area, blah, blah, blah. Right. It's
But I was thrilled with the quality of the color
stunning
and the printing and
don't
and
you have hearing aids?
Stunning.
It was easy.
Don't you have hearing aids?
Yes.
I thought I remembered you did.
Or whatever. That'll
kill it.
Just straight out of Adobe.
Yeah.
Because they have their own editing software called Bookwrite.
I did it straight out of Adobe. You have Photoshop.
Okay.
And
move
Lightroom. And
yeah.
Send to Blurb.
Okay.
Just push the button.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty simple.
Yeah. Pretty amazing.
I've never printed from it, but I've used it to make a PDF.
I have a Blurb book here. Is also colors are just now I whenever this is my travel photo book, okay, and I add six pages. I retain only six photos from each travel. So I add six pages, and then I use the rest of the first part of the book to calibrate every time I add pictures, and I quite like saturated colors, but that's
the
quality is just amazing. Like,
yeah, I was amazed at how close the printing was to my own printing.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. So are you saying that this is six pictures each from a number of trips, or this is...
This is all the trips I made since 1988.
Okay.
So this is 30 years of travel.
Yeah. So
okay. But six per destination.
Okay.
Six
great
pictures per destination.
Great.
I wanted to have only one book with everything in it.
So you've combined because you had more than one before, didn't you?
Yeah, I decided to have only one. It was very... For a period of time, I had two volumes, volume one, volume two.
Uh-huh.
It was not convenient.
But there are different choices, eh? Like when you use a tool like that, you can use a template to put your stuff in.
Yeah.
Then you have to pick your paper.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get the same result
No.
if you ask for a different paper.
That's right. Blurb essentially has three paper qualities. And the first time I printed, so way back, I started with the cheapest paper and it was terrible. So I kicked that one out. I went to the premium, whatever it's called, And since they introduced the pro or whatever paper, it has to do quite a bit with the thickness of the paper, but also, I guess, the coating. Not sure. But I also tried matte, and I tried this is sort of, not sure how they call it, velvet or whatever.
Satin? Yeah.
Wet, it's something. And its photos come out much better on this semi-gloss. It's not even gloss,
well,
I think it's...
I didn't have that option because my client is pretty cheap.
Okay.
Oh, so you use a less expensive paper.
I use the least expensive.
You're kidding.
Paper.
But this looks pretty good. No, really.
Yeah, yeah.
She was very happy with it. And I was there to please her, not to please me.
Yes,
so,
yes.
What I really liked so much about this project, though, was I was working with her. So she sat by me, by the computer, and we put the photos together, and it was very collaborative. And I got her to write. At first, I said, well, don't you want a little dedication? Because she was writing it for people, a friend of hers. So she wrote a line. And then as we went on, I said, well, you told me this about yoga, you told me that. And so she started writing more. And she ended up writing quite a bit. All of this she wrote with a little encouragement. And so originally there were not these headings on fitness and strength. And that way I said, well, you know, you could write a little bit more about fitness, or you could write about balance here, because we have pictures about balance. She loved that. She started to express herself so much that when the book was over,
she forgot.
She said, oh, I should have put all these things in it, too.
I like your choice of color, because there's a nice match with the gray of the fireplace there, mm-hmm. and
yeah.
the color of,
and this
the,
is really about
of the carpet,
so this
and
is,
the color
this,
of the wall.
This is her on the
it's,
her carpet.
It's a very nice choice
was,
of color and everything. Yeah.
She's a shy person, and she felt awkward about tooting her own horn. That's the difference between Canadians and Americans. Americans have no problem tooting their horn all the time, at every opportunity. But she's pretty shy. But she wanted it to be in her home, where she does
okay,
her
yeah,
yoga.
Yeah, yeah. So what was her goal by having this book made for herself? Just
It was on her birthday.
Okay.
She had been doing
okay.
yoga for 50 years.
Okay.
So it was celebration, commemoration.
So not for giving to friends, relatives,
she did.
Whatever.
At
get,
first,
yeah,
she
okay.
thought she was going to give it to one
too?
Friend.
Yeah.
But at the end,
everybody wanted it.
At the end, it was gratitude,
okay,
and
yeah.
she gave about 17 of them away.
Okay. Wow.
I'm curious because I've never done a book before. So, how's it work? I mean, how do you find these different? Places to publish it.
Do you have Photoshop?
Yeah.
Do you have Lightroom?
No.
You ask for places, though? Where to find places to do?
Yeah, how do you find
places to print, you mean?
I have Photoshop and Lightroom.
I'm not sure what the question was.
And there's a button that you push that says send to Blurb.
Is it
there are different modules. You know, there's in Photoshop, there's the... you know, you have your catalog, and then you have your editing, but there's a book module. So it takes your photos, and it lays them out in book format.
But you have to have a company that produces.
That produces, yeah, yeah. So this is on the internet. But I'm sure because I know a place. I'm working on a book right now. It's going to be printed in Gatineau.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's a local printing shop. They sort of specialize in printing books. I'm sure in Ottawa you have at least one, maybe half a dozen.
Yeah.
You just have to find it. And it turned out to be cheaper than Blurb.
Well,
Blurb's expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's the cost to produce a book like that?
How much? I forget exactly, but it's over $50, between $50 and $70. It's quite expensive.
It depends on how many you get. The first
this
one,
is a one
was a little over
one.
$50, then the more you order, it comes down.
And it's a question number of pages, size. Your book is bigger than this one. Number of pages, and that's it. Whether you have a blank page or a full color, it's the same price for same cost for one page, regardless of what's in it.
So what have you got that you'd like to talk about? Because doing a book, like I said, instead of asking you the question, I think the first thing you have to ask yourself is, why the heck do you want to do a book? Okay? Because you don't want to do a book just like you've got a purpose with your six images per trips.
You're right. You need to have
a rationale, a reason behind it.
I do travel, you know. So,
okay. Travel is certainly a good reason. Or
exactly. You like to write? Say a few things about the different trips. So if you've got text, you've got images.
I'm not worried about that. I'm just worried how you find the different companies
That's what we have for, I guess. Well, Blurb is very well known.
I'm glad you're not worried about it.
There's another...
Because that's the most important thing.
Blurb is in cahoots with Adobe.
I'm sorry?
Blurb is in cahoots. They're partners with Adobe.
Oh, yeah?
So it's real easy to just push that button.
Yeah, technically they're partners. I don't think they're business partners.
Because others
have a similar
It's a mutual,
they're,
mutual
they're
benefit.
Collaborative.
Adobe's created an interface where a publisher can put a button in
one copy would be more than $50.
Okay, but it really depends what you're doing your book for, because I worked with another company. It's called MagCloud. MagCloud.
Mag
like magazine, because originally it was for printing magazine. They've been bought by Blurb, but they still function as a separate company. It used to be a division of HP. Okay. Now, here is an example of a project. This is a friends like we've known each other for 60 years or something like that, and we had this weekend. 2-day weekend where I shot something like 1,000 pictures a la Robert Frank and made this book. The paper's cheap, okay, and almost see through it. But each book is about between $10 and $12.
All right, so.
And this was to give to my friends.
So one book would be. I'm just getting an idea. But one or by 25 or, you know.
But you see, you don't have this quality, but I didn't care with this particular case. You're very limited in the, so this is half of a 8.5 by 11 sheet. So you can either can be 8.5 by 11 or half of it, just half of it, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
There's no hardcover, that's it.
Well,
that's
one guy. So if you are, say, 25 in this book, the price would come down, right?
Yeah, but it's not
$40 or something.
Yeah, it's not a huge discount.
Yeah.
Same thing here, MagCloud. If you have more than 20 or something like that, then you get some discount.
But that's not the case for this one.
Yeah.
This one, the first one, costs the same as the 1,000 one.
So how much did we
And this cost under $15 delivered out of it.
Deliver
$115 each.
Book? Yeah, it's the quality.
No, under 15.
The quality, the print.
1.5, not 1.15.
The quality.
$15.
Oh.
The quality. The print.
The quality of print's not good.
No.
Yeah. No.
But this is a beautiful book with respect to.
It does what it
says. The history of Ottawa Folk Festival.
Yeah. The purpose of these things is.
You see, Len, the purpose is, what the heck do you want to do?
Yeah.
I understand
give
that
it
you're
away
worried about
and,
how much and so on. But between you and I, for me, it's the reverse. Getting the is, you'll find something. But you're right. You need to be aware of that before you jump into the project.
Like, this is a, quote, nice book, right? A person wanted to have a nice book, right?
Right. When we started, she said, can you just come take a few pictures of me? Because she's going to be, you know, 75. She said, how much longer can I stand on my head? She wanted to document before she could no longer do it. So she just wanted a few photos, but she wanted them in her home. I said, okay. So then I went. I took all my studio lights, and you always know, take pictures. And as we started to put them together, I said, do you want them in an album? Do you know, do you want them just loose? I can print them for you. But as we talked, I said, I think you want a book. She said, a book? What? Me? Oh, I... And then I said, because if you have a book, you can dedicate it to your, you know, and you can maybe say a few words, and you can have...
This is so powerful.
And so I showed it to her, and she said, okay, but I only want, like, two copies. And I said, sure, it's a little more expensive that way, but two copies, fine, no problem. And so it kind of grew over time as I worked with her. She didn't think it was a book to begin with. She thought, because she was thinking, you know, like we all grew up with our family photo albums. Mm-hmm.
That's how she was thinking at first.
But she loved.
Yeah, and then she added text, and she got into it pretty heavily.
Oh, you just do it a soft cover? No, she wanted the hard cover.
Oh, so she wasn't that cheap.
Oh no.
You said about $40.
I was thinking about like.
I said more than fifty. I'm more like
giving them for gifts. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, once she was giving them as gifts.
Well, a book like that would.
And then her husband said. I said, you know, if you order more than 10, you get a discount. And her husband said, order 20.
But and going back to this, is if you want to give things away and you're not too fussy on quality, this is Matt Cloud is really good at it. It was meant to be black and white. I said, okay, this is black and white. I got it back, and it looked terrible with magenta some places, yellows in other places.
Because they actually print color.
So I went, I said, okay, if you can beat them, join them. I turned all my pictures into sepia.
Oh.
So no black and white anymore. So this is all sepia, and there's no
sepia tint.
No, but it's sort of light sepia, but I got rid of all the magenta and all the yellows and all the whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is quite uniform now.
Cool. Yeah.
I think it's always safer to print black and white from black and white. You know, I mean, create the image first.
But they will not print black and white, even if you send
They print color.
Okay.
They print color.
So if you give them color, like a sepia toning,
So you created sepia toning.
These guys, what you send them... And like what you send them a PDF. That's it. Again, that's why they're so inexpensive. You do your own. You do everything. You send PDF. They don't want to hear anything else.
Right.
You send a PDF. Inside your PDF, I don't know whether it's sRGB or whatever. Actually, they don't care. Okay, you put whatever you put. That's it. PDF. That's
but
it.
It wasn't
in design. They'll create.
Every
CMYK PDF, right?
Or even RGB PDF, whatever you want.
Yeah, but it does for printing, right?
CMYK for printing, yeah.
I forget exactly, they have
their little set of rules on what your PDF should look like, and that's it.
Yeah.
I think it was Richard Austin who had mentioned something, or maybe you, Emil. About the fact that if you print black and white images, you have to consider that they are printing color machine with color machines. So you have to do something. Unfortunately, that's all I recall from that conversation.
The book that he had that I bought a copy of, which I thought was quite good, was black and white. It was,
60s. Montreal.
Yeah. It was good black and white.
Archival? And that was done on this.
That's not archival. Nothing is archival.
But that his book was done
through this. Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, the
friend, is this archival?
No, it's a book. It's a book. Is archival.
Like I have a sense that archival doesn't mean anything with the book, in a sense that.
It's the paper. Acid in the paper. That's it.
No.
So the sun will deteriorate your image, but here the book is closed.
Yeah.
So why would it have an effect
But if you take a really, really old book, if you bought a book in the 1950s,
the pages will turn yellow.
They will turn yellow, yeah.
How about the quality of the paper?
You can go order a set of swatches. Yeah. So that you can actually see the papers, and they're pulled many different levels of quality.
You're talking about what?
With Blurb.
With Blurb, okay.
They'll send you swatches.
Oh, they send you through the mail?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, didn't know that. Okay.
I ordered the swatches because she was nervous about how the pen would be when she wrote her by hand.
Oh.
You know? So she wanted to practice.
Careful. Oh, wow.
I think the most important thing that I learned is get a proof.
Oh, yes.
Just order one, see what it looks like, send it back, send it back again, and allow time, because all this takes time.
She's talking about take your time and have a proof.
Okay.
Len, this is my take your time and do a proof.
This is a book? Okay. Well,
yeah.
Okay. Printed where?
At Staples.
Staples.
So this is my proof. My proof cost my mind.
See my cutting marks?
And in fact, your article is in here.
Staples. So I didn't even know they had a service.
Oh, yeah, they'll do it. Yeah.
So help me out.
This is from Staples.
How is this a proof?
This is a proof because
Well, you see the cut marks?
Yeah.
So it's what they will do.
Well, what I sent them is a PDF copy of my book, which is done through InDesign with all the marks, in view of someday I will print this and do it for good.
Okay.
So I wanted to see what does it look like, because as you said, your proof allow you to verify if you have made the right choice of paper, if your things are coming out okay. My font is... I took two courses, one with you, with Cedric Pearson. Remember Cedric Pearson? He's a very fanatic person with respect to everything he does.
Right,
very, very good. So he gave us all sorts of stuff. This is the result of...
that's pretty good. The paper is really nice. Nice paper. So
my second course, Michael Tardioli.
Did you have a choice of paper at Staples?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know they were doing books.
So I went to a good quality paper because I would want my final to be better, or at least as good as this. Okay.
Would they do the final as well? With
No, I wouldn't do the final there. That cost me $60. I have the invoice in here.
Okay, so the final you would do somewhere else.
Somewhere else. I don't know where. Oh, you see. To me, this is all important. There's I will eventually write the right things in there, but you should have your information in there, you know, because what I did is, this is a 3-year project, okay? And I wanted to talk about my hometown, talk about how proud I am of what the people have done. This is asbestos mining.
It's a nice
paper. So it's a little touchy to tackle, but I'm still very proud. So I went in and I made sure that the avant-propos is done by a journalist, a guy who worked in that area for a long time. And I said to him, write about what I'm doing in terms of how, like you would write to anybody, an article in the newspaper. Then I went to my friend Raymond. And I asked Raymond, I said, would you write me an article with the perspective of an artist? Tell people, you know, or not an artist, but more like you're interested in art, what will you see in what I have done? So do it from that perspective. And then I have another article at the back which talks about the people who are in the town who have to manage the area. What does it mean for them to manage the area? So for me, all of the text is very critical. And I get down to this site, and every image, which is portraits, you have the bibliography of each person as to who they are and what they have done. So for me, the content is critical. My challenge is, where the heck am I going to get it done? And the reason why it's not printed is because the final chapter isn't done. I want to write an article for you guys. I want to tell you about my experience of doing this project. Mm-hmm. And that's why I have this picture. How did I get there? How did I manage to do this? Mm-hmm. Who helped me out? Where did I have difficulties?
But did you not print this book now?
No.
Since then? No.
No.
Oh,
I'm still sitting.
Well, what's the one about, what is the one with pictures from your home? There is one that you printed that we worked on with Cedric. That one? I thought I saw a finished version.
No, this is probably version, from that perspective, Jake, this is probably version 5 or 6.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So when you go into Staples, you go into the store, do it online?
I did it online, and I picked it up at the store.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so another question. This is much bigger than your page mark here.
Yes.
So did you do
Well,
you specified a paper that was bigger than the size of your page?
It wasn't complicated, so I believe what I may have done is, this is probably ledger. Okay, and my book is a little smaller than ledger, so I said, I'm going to go for ledger.
Okay.
And that's
they will just print...
They will print whatever I give them.
Whatever you give them, but on a bigger page, and that's it, and then all these things will show up. Okay.
It's like I have a client right now, he wants to have a big picture in his home. I said, okay, your image is, let's say, 20 by 28. So I'll take the image, put it on 24 by 36, send it to Costco, bang, it'll come out fine. I can't send them something that doesn't fit the size of their running machines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's what I may have done there.
Are you happy with the photos, the colors, the everything?
Well, no, not that much, but it does give me a feeling, because a book is graphic, right? So when I look at an image on the right-hand side and I look at the text on the left-hand side, which, by the way, I got some help from Richard. Richard helped me out with this at Obesco. You may have heard of Richard Obesco. Raymond and I and Richard were working together on a few things. And like Richard said, you know, let's make sure we have some continuity, harmony between the two, the way the text is framed and the way the image is framed. So you mean this? So if you open up the book, you get it. It's not out of whack.
On the book module in Lightroom, it shows you both sides. So it's not just one. It's not like it'll just show you this page and this page. It will show you.
Both pages together, at the same time.
This was very important.
For
because,
any book, it's very important.
Yeah. It's called a spread.
The spread. It shows you the spread.
But you said there's also one in Photoshop?
It's in the book module in Lightroom.
I don't have Lightroom, but I
have not in Photoshop.
Don't know.
No, I
don't think so.
Well, I don't use the modern Photoshop. It's certainly not in the old one.
It's a module. You know, there's an editing one. Anyway,
yeah.
So it made it very easy, because I've never worked with spreads before. I'd worked a lot with pages like this, and when I used to do, you know, my own things, I would always work one page at a time. But it was helpful. This is just basically a notebook. Put together, because we were having a studio tour, and I noticed some people just get overwhelmed, and so sometimes I would just sit somebody down and say, here, why don't you just look at the camera?
Maybe so. But if you were to go on...
And so they would just look like that. You know,
if you were just to go on Google and want to look up different... What would you put in?
Print on demand.
Print?
Print on demand.
Okay.
Book publishing... There's many, many companies. And
yeah,
and then they will advertise it.
It's only tweaking on that one.
Well, it depends on what you want to do, Len. If you want to have, if you want to, you think you're going to do 50 copies?
Well, no, I mean, I'm a.
You're going to do one or two.
I have a grandson, so I wanted to do.
Okay, then it's print on demand.
But if you
but here I wanted to do 100 copies. So
maybe 5.
This is from a press in Montreal, and it's not terribly expensive.
What'd you say in Montreal? What?
Montreal.
What about it?
So this one was done by Rapido.
This is a printer in Montreal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rapido.
What's the name of it?
Also web based.
You can deal with them by the VIP.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's it called? Rapido
Press, I think. Rapido. And there, it says, you know, it's sort of the blurred model. The first one costs you a lot. The 50th one doesn't cost so much.
I might want five copies or something.
Yeah.
You won't get any discount for five.
Oh, with Rapido you will.
It's the number of pages and all that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. No, Rapido, I think it's like four copies is one break. You know, they won't sell you a single copy, but they'll do a proof for a cost, which is basically a single copy. They'll do four for a certain price. They'll do 20 for a certain price. They'll do 50, you know, and it's 400 or 500.
There's one option in here that I would just love to see a real example in real life.
Yeah.
For landscape photographers, there is the option that it's not bound like this.
I saw that. Blurbing?
Yeah.
Saw that last year.
It lays flat. Ooh, and can you imagine?
I don't know that. Did you look into this?
Oh,
how expensive?
Oh,
you got one?
You got one?
Well, it's not a blurb, but it's a lay flat.
Wow.
These people put out lay flat before a blurb did. This is.
What company is this?
This is Photo Book Canada. Photo Book World.
Photo Book, okay.
It gets printed in Singapore.
Wow.
This is fantastic.
I've never seen one in real life.
Yeah. No, they're lovely.
Neither.
So that, like their retail price for this is about $110, you know, for me to buy one.
Yeah.
It doesn't get any cheaper in quantity.
No, okay.
But with Photo Book, they're a marketing machine. Like they have constant discounts. So when they come out, and you can save a discount. So I buy them when they come, and then I use them when I need them.
So you get 50, 40?
No.
So
in terms of discount?
Discount?
65.
That's so nice.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just bought two more because I have this in the bookstore over here. And hopefully they'll sell some. So
you did sell some?
They're trying.
Yeah. See, these for sale in bookstores.
This is in a bookstore. That's in a bookstore.
That's why it has that. Huh?
Well, it makes it. Yes, bookstores won't take it without that.
And I recall the previous version of this book. When you looked at an image, the image at the back was coming through. Remember, right?
Yeah, yeah.
In your
on
first
blurb,
few
I think, or
I don't recall which company you had used, but getting a proof is good because you can find out those problems before it's too late.
I went through two or three proofs with blurb on that book, and I tested all kinds of things. In I think it was three proofs.
Uh-huh.
I did it 8x10, I think, and tested papers. Tested color quality? Do they have different color quality?
I forgot. You're black and white.
No, it's not. There's nothing. There's almost nothing black and white in there. I mean, there's one. There is one. But and when I tested color quality, I used it with Cedric's color sampler. You know, that it's a layout of colors for printing. So that you can see what the print looks like. You know, what the
color. He gave us some templates, images, like a face of a baby.
Right.
And then we would use that as saying, this is what I should get back.
Yeah.
You send it out, you return
I'm sorry, I'm sorry I didn't bring those today, because I have all that stuff. You know, we did this class and we did...
Like how long? We spent 11 weeks in the class with him. I spent a week with Michael afterwards in the class again for writing a book.
Yeah.
Like, you can have a university degree for writing a book.
Well, Jake, this is excellent.
This is nice.
Thank
I got your 8.5x11 copy at home.
Okay.
Because I'm going to say it, but I bought a book when I went to Montreal. I went to this thing, I think it's called Artex. It's in the corner of Sainte-Catherine and Saint-Laurent. It's an artistic...
Okay.
And they had a book there. It it was a beautiful compliment to the two courses that I took on why do I want to write a book, what should be in it. Like, it was fantastic.
Yeah,
but I looked for it, found your book, but didn't find the book. So whenever I find it, I'll bring it to show you guys what it is.
Okay.
Excellent book on writing books.
This is very heavy.
That's two pages. This is a sheet of paper.
That's one sheet.
It's one sheet.
And then here's another sheet.
And they glued it together.
And they're glued back to back.
The stock itself is
heavy. The stock is half
heavy stock.
This is two pieces glued together.
Oh,
but the end result
is this is one sheet. This is one sheet, and they come together here.
But that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, you have to sell that to 150 at least, and you make no money.
Well, I think it's 120 over there. No, I don't. I never pay them 110 for it. Like, it'd just be stupid. So I get. I mean, I bought two future copies. 24 pages. This is 40. So what I do is I buy their standard discount thing. I bought two copies for $45 the other day. So that's $22 a piece for 24 pages. I'll have to pay another $25 or $30 if I upsize them to this size, to 40 pages. So I'll pay a total of $80 for two of them. Maybe plus shipping. Say it's $100 for two.
So you wait for the Black Fridays.
Yeah, they do it all the time.
So that's the other thing. There's, like Blurb, there's always a discount.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you go to promo code on Google,
yeah,
and you find the promo code, and you got 40%.
So after all those free ones where they finally got it right, I happen to have a 40% off coupon, and I ordered the 17.
Absolutely. Now there's going to be something for Black Friday and something for Christmas and something for whatever.
I think if you're not in a rush, $12 from
photo. So I mean, see, did I hear that you did your proofs on a smaller?
Yes.
Yeah, that's really smart.
Well, it was cheap. It was like so. I wanted proofs from Blurb, and they have a small format landscape.
Yeah.
Soft cover. That's
really smart. It's fairly cheap. I never thought of that.
This case cost $12.
Something like that. Yeah. So I put a question in the email. I said, "Does anybody know where you can get cases like that made?" I can't find it on the web.
Snapples.
I mean, Photo Book will make it for a book that they print, but I want them for
anything.
Them for a box set of this.
Well, Glenn Bloodworth had his book. What he did is he printed the images on a regular Epson 3800 printer. Brought the images to this guy in Smith Falls, and the guy did the book,
binding
and everything. And I believe he makes.
You mean from the actual prints?
Yes.
So he made the binding.
Yes.
Who is the guy?
I don't remember.
I've heard
Michael
somebody
is
told
the one who referred him.
So, actually,
these are true pages. Of the book. These are actual prints.
Okay.
Okay.
So you just make your own prints and have them bound?
Yes. No, well, with Smith Falls, yes.
Yeah.
So if I were to give this to Smith Falls, he would do me a book.
Okay, yeah.
If that's the same thing as my
book. That way you have 100% control.
Do you know how much it costs?
For
the binding? No, for the binding.
I don't know. But this is my... I went to Vistec, bought this.
Yeah.
This cost me about $200 and some dollars.
Right.
Oh, you mean because of the prints inside? The binder is
$200? The binder and the paper.
And the paper, binders. Yeah, okay, all the prints. This is real good paper.
You get that at Vistec.
Yeah.
Huh? You get this kind of binding cover at Vistec. And you get the paper, which is...
that's where the expense is.
What's the name of that company? I don't remember, but... You go to Vistec and you buy this double-sided paper.
Oh, yeah.
And I put it in my P800 printer, and I printed these.
Uh-huh.
Then
You could use any paper you want.
Totally.
Sure.
But if you want to do both sides,
double-sided.
Not every paper will do both sides.
Yeah. I went to a show recently, the one in Mount Scotland.
Right.
Beautiful beautiful gallery at the School of Dance in my neighborhood.
Studio 200.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gallery 200.
Gallery 200, 300, some number.
200. It's 200 Creighton Street.
And there were four artists, four photographers. Mm-hmm. They travel together, and they've been doing this for years. And so each one had a different view of what they saw on their trip. Each one also had a book. And the one beautiful, absolutely Verita printed huge landscapes of Scotland. The book?
You didn't like Patricia's book?
Gray. Well, it turned out she was not very happy with the book either. She sent it to her. I think, I don't know how it happened, and maybe she should have proofed it or whatever, but anyway, she was not happy with the book, and I could understand why, because her prints were gloriously beautiful, but the book was quite poor, I thought. And the other photographer, I didn't think her prints were as beautiful, and they were okay, but the book was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to find it.
Uh-huh.
So what she did what you did. She had them printed first, and then had a bookbinder bind them. And they weren't even, it wasn't even double-sided. It was
one,
but every one of them was.
So it's your own print.
It was her
own
print.
It's a very, it's a very expensive book.
But she took it too.
This is sort of one of a kind.
I think they said Snowfalls.
Right.
It might be the same ones.
Well, it's all linked. Okay. Michael is with them, you know. Yeah. That's the Studios 256 ladies.
Yes.
Lee, Barbara,
right.
Abigail, and
he is mentored there.
One thing that's very important in the final results in books is to do a final sharpening just for printing. I don't know if Cedric Pearson talked about that, but
we talked a lot about
there is a guy. There is a guy called Bruce Fraser, who wrote a book on sharpening. This is one book on sharpening. The guy used to work for Adobe. I don't know, he's dead now. He died quite young. But that book tells you everything about sharpening, including the kind of sharpening you need to do when you print. So last thing you do, before you get your picture ready for printing, is you apply the sharpening, and then your picture looks terrible on your screen. So don't. It looks bad on your screen.
You didn't want to see this before.
But when you get it on print, it makes a huge difference. So go and look for Bruce Fraser on sharpening. Do a search on that.
Okay.
And try to find his recipe for sharpening, and then he's got different recipes, whether you print inkjet or press, what's it called? This is all laser. Laser printing and blah blah blah. It's got all these recipes, and don't look at your pictures on the screen after you do that, because it looks bad. Okay.
Well,
so on the screen they look bad.
On the screen, it looks bad, but in the book, it makes a huge difference.
I learned all of my digital printing from Jim Lamont, and there's so much technically that he taught us about sharpening. But what I do now is I don't sharpen the whole image; I just sharpen selectively. And he taught us how not to sharpen the whole thing, but how just to sharpen the mid-tone, sharpen in the mid-tones. And so I'll see if it's for books, but for prints.
No, this is different. If you go back to the Bruce Fraser's book, he's going to tell you there's two things. There is what you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
This is what you sharpen on your screen, and whether it's called mid-tone, the whole picture, whether it's whatever. There's a whole chapter on how to do that. Okay? Chapters.
But it doesn't look good on the screen.
I'm saying he called that actually two-step sharpening, something like that, right? So now you're happy with your picture. You've done all the sharpening that you wanted on this picture on your screen, blah blah blah. Okay, you the second sharpening step has got to be done on the exact size for the press.
Yeah, you size it first,
and then you apply the sharpening, and you don't look at your picture and you don't touch it because it's not going to look good on your screen. Okay, but it's when you print.
But if you print it, it'll be.
When you print it, this is all of this. All of this was done with the two-step sharpening.
Mm-hmm.
All this.
And they look good on your printer also?
I never printed those on my printer.
Oh.
Okay, because my printer is an inkjet and it's a different steps. This is for this
digital
press.
Yeah. Laser.
Anyway, just a tip, which...
Tell you, it's
a big difference. Big difference.
Yeah.
This is sort of ancient history. I don't think Apple does this anymore, do they?
Oh yeah. Okay,
Apple.
So do you have this?
My mother used to do that.
I don't think they make books the way they used to. Anyway, it used to be like the one thing I ever agreed with Michael Schreier on was that Apple's printing was the most beautiful.
Okay.
Their books were just gorgeous.
Paper's nice too.
Paper's good. Really
nice paper.
I hired somebody to design it, so it looks good that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's this stuff.
Yeah, this was such a nice project, Jake.
And you were talking about how you made the book. I have a whole section here,
which talks about that.
The experiments.
Very nice.
Oh, so it's not how to make the book so much as it's how to make the pictures.
but you talk about your experience and another photographer. Would be interested in reading that.
I would think.
You can't recall the name of that company in Smith Falls, huh? You took
you want to know?
I'd like to.
Okay. See if Glenn can answer.
So you got
Yeah, Glenn begged off. He's got the flu.
It's not. Those chains are gone. It looks great.
The chains are gone.
Yes.
It was really weird. I got them to get more of those things. And I said, I'm going to need 17 to fill the room with pictures like you. She never explained
it
to me, but she only bought 10.
Fairly often in that area anyway. Stopping and talking.
And I said, you didn't get 17? Yeah. She said, no, I got 7. An email. No explanation.
When you say assembled by hand, you mean not with the actual prints, but with on the screen.
Digital.
Digital.
Yeah. I know. I tried to find a phrase. So some of them are assembled by software.
Yeah. Like Photomerge, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. And then it's funny because you see some of the Photomerge glitches. It's kind of interesting.
I'll be right back.
Which kind of glitch? You mean like the show through?
Yeah.
I sort of like those, actually.
This is a question of intent. This is very interesting, of course. Like Petit Gris, I use Petit Gris quite a bit, and it's probably the best stitching software, but you can see there's no glitch. Perfect. It's perfect.
PTGUI.
I've had a lot of problems with Photomerge, and
this is the only time I use Photomerge. You're talking about the Adobe Photoshop merge.
That's
the only time.
PTGUI.
Photomerge is
something
Photoshop. Photoshop merge.
Photoshop merge did almost all of these because PTGUI doesn't let you not blend.
Yeah, it's too nice.
Yeah.
If you want
PTGUI?
Perfect blending,
I think I told you that when we were talking, like to merge
in one word.
To merge, like that piece at the end there is many, many pictures merged.
Yeah.
PTGUI does that very well.
You're right. It's too nice. If you want to have a sort of a perfect blending and really fool people, that's the way to do it. Otherwise,
But unlike Photomerge, they won't let you turn off the blend.
no, that's right.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
So a photo merge that you can turn it off and just assemble them.
Actually, you should check that. Maybe you can. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
There's so many options.
Actually, give me a 1 hour session.
And now they've got HDR built in.
Yeah.
And everything.
Of course, for his.
Yeah. I love PD Goose.
His show's going up soon in December.
Right?
Oh, this is so nice. This is such a fantastic debate series.
And then you'll meet Vishal, because Vishal is going to do his probably after Jim.
Yeah, that's
my. Is
that the same?
I don't know which one. I think he's showing Scotland. Is Robesco showing his Scotland images?
Yeah. I wouldn't let him show anything else.
His what? Scotland.
I went to Scotlandia.
Yeah, but anything else could have done.
Oh, I'm sure. You know.
He's the curator. He's going to pay you sick.
That was the one show that I went after. You know, like I want to see that big, you know, as much as I can of it.
Richard, actually, we work with Richard. Now that I know him a bit better, like, he's a guy who basically had a fine art training in the mid-60s, early 70s.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So he's done TV, he's done painting. You go to his house, he's got large painting that he's done. And you see that in his artwork.
And he worked in graphics through his career.
He did, eh?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Different aspects.
Audiovisual.
Yeah, some television.
Some video.
Some print graphic, too, I think.
In his images, when he works with his images, in my mind, I'd say he works as if he was doing a painting. He chooses the palette, his color palette. Like, he looks.
It's a lot of work. I found some of these pictures, they look a bit strange, like there's something there.
It's a slightly other world.
Slightly other world, but you can't. It's impossible to pinpoint.
What he's done, right?
That's the magic of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, have you seen at Studio 66 right now?
No.
What's her name?
Christine Fitzgerald.
Christine, yeah. Go see those.
Oh, okay.
They are portraits of parrots, basically.
Okay.
And I think they were printed in black and white.
Okay.
Oh, no, they were printed with old technology.
Okay.
Gum, whatever. You know, I don't know.
Okay.
And then they're hand painted.
Oh.
And they are just gorgeous. They're just like.
I mean, the colors, the parrot colors.
Waiting for him. Maybe he'll respond. I sent him a message.
It's only up for a few.
I sent him a message.
Is there a description of how it was painted? Is it like Marshall Boyle or
who in Smith?
Oh, I don't know.
It's kind of traditional.
I'm waiting for him.
You could have. Actually, it closes today.
Oh.
It's only up now.
What, the Studio 66?
Yeah. I like that.
So my
father
liked
printing your own and just
having a problem. But it costs about $90, $60 to $90 each.
He used
to paint
for his books.
This is common, right? You could buy the...
Not to bind them necessarily.
You could buy these little sets.
Including his own printing.
No, but if you bring him the prints, you know.
So the cost of your prints plus his binding makes the book about $60.
But shirt and the skirt and the whatever.
Oh.
Yeah,
it was
and is that Marshall oil?
It was called Marshall oil. It was very common.
What kind of binding is it?
I'm not too sure why it's
it looks
sort of
a little bit like this.
Some of these old processes sort of come back in fashion. But I haven't seen much in terms of reusing Marshall oil, which I thought was.
So that's a little hard.
It had this.
It's a quality
binding. I think he's had difficulties with some.
You know,
he's opened the book and some
pictures, which I find, it's an option, okay?
So, yeah.
But this is so subtle, the Marshall oil is so subtle.
Okay, so they're translucent oils.
Yeah.
There's a few errors here and there.
I can see how
but in general, he's in business because he does good work.
I don't know what she used. Their colors are dense enough.
Anyway, it works.
So when he responds, worst case, I'll tell Jake.
Glenn wrote me this morning. He's had the flu.
Okay.
And two other people were going to come. They had the flu.
See, this is the project that Imar and I have worked on. These are triptychs. So one says, one contradicts, and the other one unites. So here's an example of a Robesco. So this is Imar, and that's mine. You see his image?
Yes.
Oh, that's his colors.
Yeah.
That's the Robesco.
It's funny because when I work with these two guys, my style tends to be this. Very color is in your face, okay?
Yeah.
So I do my stuff, first series, first set, and then I do my second series. I had to come besides one of these pictures, right? And these two guys, they were all mid-tones. Okay, so...
like this, huh?
It just didn't work at all. Uh-huh. So I went... that's an example, right?
Yeah.
So I went... Vibrance in Lightroom was like, okay, I'm not even far enough. get close. This is a perfect example. This is so, the middle one is mine. It's so toned down to match these two guys. But that was the whole idea, right?
Uh-huh. Cool.
That was a good project we were on.
But
you added that in 18 months we had our work on shown in public areas for 8 months.
For 8 months. In over a period of 12 months.
12 months.
Over a period of a year and a half.
Year and
we
a half.
We had about
18 months. Yeah.
8 months on display.
Excellent.
In three locations.
In three good locations.
Huh?
Three excellent locations.
Yeah.
That place in Gatineau.
Not my
board.
Email, it's just to send that to me.
Yep.
What's the name?
Montcalm. Montcalm, yes. Yeah.
It's like the City of Ottawa gallery.
Right, only better presented. Like City of Ottawa is, you know, through a door, and this is like in a
spacious.
Big space.
And he had the great idea of hanging our work, some of the work in the middle. Like you walked in and... Gosh, that was nice. The panels we set up. I don't think we still have images.
Also, we decided to. This is all a funny decision, but heartbreaking decisions, because we decided to print on self-adhesive vinyl and sticky vinyl, and this way we could have huge pictures. So some of the pictures were 4 feet by 4 feet. So three of them. It's like 12 by 4, huge, okay? And we wanted to bring costs down. Yeah, had we done this on paper, it would have cost us like 5 times. So this is really cheap. You can print a 4 by 4 on this vinyl, and the colors were nice. I mean, it was nice, right?
Well, if you're not comparing to...
a fine print.
A fine print... And I was more concerned about the content, what we were showing. You know, because you don't, like we've been talking about here, you don't have 100% control over, you know, you do it with this, with that. At the end of the day, what impact do you have on your viewers? And it worked, okay? Because the work that we did at Montcalm, like Richard was looking after the printing site. We each had our choice, okay? He had the work redone by the company. They were done printing. We went back and said, no, scrap, start again.
He's so careful.
And he had. And then if you look at some of the images we had, there was some color cast in there. But with the amount of light we had there, compared to others, the impact of the three images, one saying, contradicting, and uniting, it worked. Because we're visual artists. Like, we want to show emotions. We want to talk about something. And it works. Like, that works.
Yeah. So right? At the end of the show, everything was ripped up the wall, put in a big ball, and thrown in the
garbage.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a mind shift that we had to go through.
Yeah.
But the way I rationalized this in my mind was that, okay, this show is just a catalog.
The
show is a catalog. Okay? So if you want to buy, and in fact we had one buyer, if you want to buy, come and talk to us. We'll decide on which, you know, what size, what kind of paper, what kind of this, what kind of that. We can bet on a price. And in fact, this is exactly what happened, right? We negotiated the size and blah, blah, blah price, and we sold one triptych. But the show was a catalog. Okay, if you want to order any of this, this is not up for sale. Come and talk to us. We'll print it on purpose. You know.
How big did your buyer go? Was
it that big? It was about 1 foot square.
Oh, okay.
Three times. So it's 3x1, which is... It's just sizable in a living room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
3 feet.
not a 12-foot wall.
No, but what we did, in my mind, would easily go for, let's say, this company builds this office building. Yeah. It would easily go huge in the middle, in the entrance of the building.
Yeah.
It would go.
Yeah.
It would go.
Have you ever been in the, what's the name? There's a hotel in Kanata, right in the middle of the
Brook
tech
Street.
Park.
Big Brook Street Hotel?
Yeah. Have you seen the art in there?
I haven't gone in there.
Ah. At Folk Fest 1 year, we had some rooms there. They sponsored. And so they had rooms for the artists to go and work up some work. And so I got the photograph in there, and what they did was they went to Canterbury, and they commissioned art paintings, and they're fairly much of a palette. I don't know how they specified it, but it's just fantastic work, you know, like for big corporate work. You know?
And what support is this? What material is this?
It's painting. I assume on canvas.
It's painting on canvas.
Large painting. Yeah. So they went shopping. Is what I'm saying. You know, they went shopping. They probably got a very good deal, but they supported the art community that way. And, you know.
Can I
see your flat book again?
Yeah.
You know what's happening in the studio space in the city.
I do. In what way? I mean, I know there's a new studio space.
Where's that? You know, on Caledon?
Yes.
Jane, you know my wife. Yeah, she knows your wife, Jane.
Right.
She has a studio over around the corner from Enrich Bread.
Right.
On Lavetta Street.
Yeah.
And all of
I know what's happening there.
All of it's going to disappear.
Right.
Except the Enrich Bread has got a heritage designation.
Ah.
So they can't demolish it, but they will probably renovate the interior and make them cubby holes.
Right.
But the there's going to be something like 120 artists.
Yes.
And there's nowhere for them to go.
Well,
that whole area.
You don't like Caledar? Why?
Well, Caledar is very limited. It's small.
No, it's expandable. They've got something like, I forget the number now.
It's like, there's two.
More than 10,000 square feet. I forget what it is.
That's
they've got a whole other floor.
When I saw that.
It's not ideal.
That's one sheet.
Well, she likes
this is another sheet, and this is
stable
back to
that. Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
Is she in that building right next to the brewery?
Yeah, the wine place.
So for the right application, it's glorious. You don't need it always.
This is just a single sheet. This is one sheet.
Yeah.
And it's glued back to back here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ah, it's a nice process, eh? I did not mean to get this pearl. I had it on matte the first time I printed it.
Matte.
But I
found matte. I tried matte, and I've never satisfied matte in a book. Matte is finer than print on the wall, but in a book, I don't know, it doesn't live.
Yeah.
It's dead. See what I mean? This lives.
Yeah, it has a certain,
You know, is this, your pictures are absolutely, you know what, one thing I like, of course you did this on purpose, is like they completely washed against the background, the white is,
this
is so phenomenal.
You know how I did
this
that?
This is so good.
I mean, first of all, the entire picture, the very top 5% of the pixels are taken white. Just blow it right out, you know. To take the top 5%.
You mean the printer?
No, me.
You, okay.
Before I gave it to you.
Okay.
And then for particular images, the edge has been treated a bit. If it didn't fade into white.
This is
beautiful. Here I couldn't do it.
Yeah, of course, when you have this kind of thing, but still.
Some of them were worse.
Still. still, it would like, here's completely washed. This is so nice. This is so nice.
I had some of them in a show at Atrium with another artist, Shasha Goiker. And her stuff is very sort of graphic and small, and mine is, you know, bigger. It was really a nice show.
This is so nice. And this is so winter.
Yeah.
There's a real winter feel to it. There's no question about it, you know.
Yeah.
Wow. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
Oh, I've got to try this book.
What are you shooting at?
Either a D810 that's broken, so I'm not, a D300.
D300 is a nice little.
Oh, yeah.
I just bought, had a D300 and I bought the 750.
Okay.
And it's beautiful camera. But, the D300, you get that extra 50% on the focal length.
Right.
And this.
Yeah, but it's only.
I'd like to have that.
Very, very nice.
Well, I really enjoy the extra pixels on the A10. Like it creates creamy prints. You know, it's like it's something different.
this is a full frame.
Full frame, 36 meg.
Yeah, I think. With the full frame, the pixels become so small that. Even if it's noisy, you don't see it, or there's something, I'm not sure, there's something there that has to do with noise.
Ah,
how
okay.
Noise, subjective, how you subjectively perceive noise. I think. I've got to prove that. I've got to rationalize this.
This is
an intuition, okay?
But I know electronically some part of the noise production has to do with the closeness of pixels, right?
Yes, yeah.
The tighter they're packed, the noisier it can get.
Yes, yeah. Because you know why? Because if you have a big pixel, no, there's an average.
There's an average.
Noise is average over this area.
Okay.
And if the area is this small, it's also going to average over an area, but much smaller.
Okay, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's physically, that's what's happening, right?
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I know, I think I even tried this. I took the same picture, took it on the 810, and then I repixelized it to the 300s, or the 12 megapixel, instead of 36, right? And then I printed it side by side. And same size, though, same size print. And the native one was just creamy. I mean smooth transitions, you know, between anything compared to the other one. You couldn't say it was pixelated, but you could say it was not as
yeah. Smooth. There's another thing that comes into
rich.
Play also. It's the size of the print. Okay.
Sure.
And these prints are really small.
Yeah.
So they blur all the defects. Defects disappear.
Okay.
Like this picture is also on a D750 at 1,200 ISO, 12,800, this one. Doesn't look noisy at all.
Uh-huh.
It is noisy. It's noisy. You don't see it because it's small.
Okay.
So I found that in this book, I can... Okay, I would never print this picture. Like this size,
mm-hmm.
but in this book, no problem.
Why wouldn't you turn it that size?
No, because that's not what I. My goal is. My goal is.
Oh, okay.
It would be very noisy.
It would be very noisy. You would see the noise if you were to print this size. But this is so. In other words, the smaller you print, the more forgiving it is, because of course it's a question of averaging, right? It's going to average. Big averaging.
Right.
So there's some of these pictures are just terrible, terrible. You print those in even 8x10, whatever, they will look so bad. But then in the book, it's not a problem.
It's my birthday this week, and so on my birthday I bought a photo book. And I went back to, what's his name, Freeman. He's a British author. Who did a bunch of, like, the Photographer's Eye
Oh, yeah. He's the one who did that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, in this, what this one is, it's, I sort of avoided it. It's it's the graphics of photography. And he went through two editions of it. So this is the second edition. And where he talks about just gross graphics, you know, what do you put in the frame? How do you frame it? What do you put it? What do you include? And with endless examples, color examples. It's a gorgeous book. It's like.
But make sure that's your gift.
Hey,
that's your gift.
That's my
gift to yourself.
My 74th year.
Maybe bring it next time.
I could do. Yeah.
You're not 74, are you?
I am not quite.
Not quite. You're kidding.
Tuesday.
I can't believe this.
Your birthday's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Mine's Friday.
So you get a present too.
I get what?
You get
yeah.
yourself a
yeah.
present.
Buy yourself.
Oh, I'll manage. I'll find it.
Jay's got a photo book for sale here for your birthday.
Yeah, you should have one of those late flats. Eh?
That's right.
It's only 100. You can get it down the street here, $120. You can get it for me for cheaper. I feel like we're winding down a bit. I want to, before we go, I really need themes.
Okay. I'll drop you a note.
We need a theme. I don't want to think up a theme again.
And Jake?
Or not for a while.
Okay. We will think.
Jake. Put this down. Oh, here. I got a present for you.
Oh. For my birthday?
For you? No, actually, I didn't know it was your birthday. No, this is a present for, this is a thank you present.
Oh.
For setting up these meetings here and before.
Okay.
When was the first travel meetings? Like three, 2012. 4 years ago? 2012.
We went 2012 to 15, like late in 2012 to late in 2015.
Okay, you did wonderful. This is a thank you present.
Thank you so much.
Now you make us feel lousy. Hey, we didn't bring anything. We didn't need either for the plan.
I say just happy birthday.
So is this the Times Square?
This is my Times Square project, yeah.
Yes.
I did a project for this particular case. Ran over... Actually, I did two Times Square projects, so this is project number one.
Thank you.
I was reading a book on the, it was called The History of Street Photography. So I read this book. And I said, okay, what would street photography mean today? I said, okay, I start searching for a public webcam overlooking a street. I'm gonna do frame freezes from that. So, guess what? I found a camera, a 24 camera webcam, public webcam, running 24 hours a day, overlooking a sidewalk on Times Square. So, for a year, I started going every day, looking for interesting things to happen and snapping things. And this is the book. This is this book.
Uh-huh.
And then a year later, Times Square is really interesting because when the huge Storm Andrew hit New York and they said, don't go out, there were still people in Times Square. and then I discovered that the sort of building where this camera was about between the ground floor and the first floor, so it was over, looking down on the sidewalk. Very interesting, as you can see. So these are full view,
uh-huh.
full views, and this is a zoom on a particular scene.
Uh-huh.
So.
But there's something that bothers me about that, because the video is going. It's just you're taking a frame out of it, right?
Yeah.
What is your creative? What is your input there? It's already
artistic, creative.
My input is choosing. Okay.
Like
so
you
I
as a photographer.
Yeah, you choose.
Okay, you will photograph
choosing.
Me.
I'm an artist who happens to.
Okay, photography is choosing. Actually, I started cheating after a while. But, so at first, I started to try to grab things as they happened. And then I said, this is really stupid, right? I'm making my life very difficult. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to, because there is a 24-hour archive. So, okay, fine. I'm going to cycle through the day. I can do this in the afternoon. Each day would pick a different hour of the day. So I will cycle over 24 days. I'm going to cycle 24 hours. And I'm going to look at the video stream, record it, looking for something interesting. And when something interesting happened, I'm going to snap it. And if that's not what I want, I'm going to look at the previous frame or the next frame or the three frames later to get exactly the composition I want. Okay? That was phase two, because phase one I was trying to snap on, like this is all snapping on the go. And then I started to really frame the whole thing by really, really, really finally fine choosing the exact scene I wanted. So they moved the camera somewhere else on the other side of Times Square where they had a broad view. And I was so disappointed. I said, oh, I miss all this sidewalk stuff, and blah, blah, blah. And then suddenly, okay, maybe that's an opportunity because now there are different things happening. The sidewalk is people walking, but this camera now overlooking the place was people doing things. People sitting at, taking coffee, speaking, and then there were all sorts of events on Times Square. Like it would be suddenly it was set up a some sort of tennis court to get this tennis game or whatever. All sorts of things happening. So then I started to be much more. Much more variety. This is phase two of the project. Much more variety in what kind of scenes, and then it started to, I don't know, I mounted little videos of what's happening, and this whole thing, it took me busy for about two to three years.
You had your show at the City of Ottawa Gallery.
City of Ottawa Gallery. This was all shown at the City of Ottawa Gallery.
So you had a video as you walked in. You used that special plastic, which you managed to curl into in the form of an eight, which
okay,
gave
no,
you...
That was somewhere else. That was somewhere else.
What I remember seeing something similar to that then.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
but
it's 'cause, yeah.
That was amazing to see the way that you laid out your work, too. And at the end of the day, a photographer is only selecting what he's... I've got nothing about how this machine is made.
Yeah.
I look at that, I take the picture. If someone likes it, what have I done?
No, I understand what you're saying, but
no,
you said at the same time, I was trying to make a statement about what photography is and is not. And stretching.
No, it's not about what photography is.
Stretching,
I'm
stretching.
But it's like there are painters, my wife's a painter, and there are painters who paint kitty cats.
They what?
Kitty cats, kittens. And then there are painters who paint art. And I'm, okay, you can argue the kitty cat might be art, but there's a process, a creative process. I don't care whether you're a painter, or a photographer, or a dancer, or whatever you're doing. There's a creative process. It's just the means to express it. And I see the same, there are people who are photographers who do kids' birthday parties, or... even weddings, who just they do the standard wedding thing, and that's their business. But is it art? I don't think so. My own judgment of it.
Yeah.
I think they would have to first say that they were trying to do art.
Well, okay. But what I'm getting at is that
before I even
there's
it.
A process involved.
Yeah. Yeah.
In French,
the medium you use is just a means to it.
You're
a printmaker, you can be whatever you want.
Yeah.
But there's a process.
Yeah.
And that you have done that from the basic idea to begin with to the final product.
Mm-hmm.
So that's me. I don't consider myself a photographer as I do an artist who happens to use a camera right now.
Yeah.
I'm trained as a sculptor, actually. So
you see, I ask myself all those questions because it was all experimental, right? It was just, I'm going to try something. And, you know, I rationalize, someone could argue I rationalize something, but when I hit my mouse saying, click, I want this scene, I want to freeze this, frame freeze, there was a screen grab. It was all part of this canvas. This webcam, you could do all this. You
I
could
understand
download.
The art.
Okay, this is like, okay, to my mind, okay, this is like pressing on the shutter release. Same gesture, same everything. Something happening in front of me. So what happens in front of me is actually taking place in New York, but I'm witnessing it from here. So it's just like my cable release is just very long. I mean, I could argue. Yeah. No, listen, I could argue that, right?
And so, you have a very fast shutter, and you can pick one frame.
Yeah, but okay, no, but that's the other thing. Look, that's the other part when I started to select. But what did photographers, especially photojournalists, now with you know, when the motor-driven cameras came out, and now it's all digital.
Yeah.
What did they do? And then they look at their contact sheet and say, okay, here the guy started smiling, here a selfie. Okay, wow, this is exactly the one I want. Everything falls perfectly, composition, everything. Okay. And then things started to degrade after that because someone moved out of the screen or someone looked somewhere else and blah, blah, blah. It's been done forever. Okay, it's been done forever. So why should I feel bad doing the same thing using the web and a remote camera, right?
A couple of years ago, I was turning off Bank Street to our Queen Elizabeth Canal. And just a few seconds before I got there, a pickup truck had gone into the canal. Just a few seconds. So I got there. The guy was climbing up, and the roof of the pickup truck was still above water, right? So I fortunately had my camera, I jump, I go, click, click, and I jump in my car and I drive out to the Ottawa Citizen. No, and so and it takes me about 15 minutes to get there. And I go in and I said, I've got pictures of this pickup truck that
and the guy is driving?
Huh? It went into the canal. This is about 10 years ago. It went into the canal. He says, oh, we already have it. I said, what? He said, we already have it. And he showed, you know, we already have the pictures. And so, anyway, I
because
drove
they
back.
Uploaded them.
No,
directly?
I drove back. And there's a guy there, a young guy, and he's got this old car. And he's got a computer with a link in his car, and he takes out the SD card, puts it in his computer, straight to the citizen, and this is what he does.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for that thing, you mean he sort of drives around
does,
and looks,
you know,
for
he's on
looks
call.
For trouble.
So I kind of was intrigued by the whole technical stuff.
You should have gone home and uploaded it.
No, anyway, so. He said, you should get into. He said, this is how I support myself. He was physically handicapped, and he said, this is how
this
I support
is interesting.
Myself.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
And I said, so you mean, if there's an accident on the Queensway at 3 a.m, and they call you, you've got to drive out there at 3 a.m. And, yeah, I said, no, thanks. Wow. I don't want to do that. You know.
That was the end of your career, right?
You know? I heard of a Calgary photographer whose standard shoot for a wedding is about 10,000 pictures.
Oh my God.
He's got, it's him and his assistant on motor drive. Basically.
Exactly.
I mean, I've shot weddings.
Perfect smile.
Yeah,
perfect look at everything. Absolutely. Yeah. Completely.
It's a big edit at the end.
Well, you don't want him perfect citizen.
No.
Well, this was a good theme.
This thing.
Thank you.
Yes.
I like that.
Thank
theme.
You for coming.
Thank you for that theme. I
will make notes. I have a recording. I hope you're all good with that. We used to record them all, eh? And I haven't.
Well, you had a guy there recording. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't heard from Mike about this. He hasn't. No, maybe early on. He said something about
you.